Log Talk Radio.
Good afternoon.
Log Talk Radio.
Bring out the best talk radio. Today we're talking about relationships, and we're going to talk specifically.
Good afternoon, and welcome to today's episode of Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio. This is our bi-weekly show on singlehood and dating, and today we're going to be talking about how to date a busy person. You have with you three busy people who've dated and been dated and dealt with all the nuances and fun and what have you of trying to manage a really busy, full life and really full, rich relationships. So we're delighted that you've taken time out of your, of course, busy schedule to join us for this today, or maybe you're watching it at 1 a.m. some morning after all your other busy stuff. But this is going to be a fun one for us. My name's Kate Holmquist.
And I'm Rachel Zwell.
And I'm Monica Sandin.
And we are going to have some fun. We have someone already on the line with us to start us off with some questions, and that is Cindy.
Cindy's question is, what's the best way to keep in touch and continue trying to date someone who, like you, is an incredibly busy professional? Excellent question, Cindy. Can you tell us some more?
Well, he actually does consulting work plus starting a business with some partners, and meantime, I work, I'm job hunting, I'm also doing projects, I do a lot of writing on the side, plus I'm writing a book, and other things
too.
So, a little busy. And he's even busier, okay? Because he's head of his team with this business that they're starting. It's going to be actually five different locations, but we met last fall at actually an alumni thing, which is fun. So, but it's
very
been
cool.
Tough. You know, I don't want to be too pesky, but it's been kind of tough. But, you know, I want to respect his time, but, you know.
Right. Well, a little more context would be helpful. Are you two dating exclusively, or is this one of many men you're trying to see?
No, it's just hard to find good men out there. I mean, we just kind of met.
Yeah.
It was actually alumni, a Christmas alumni thing. And university where we both went. I did my MBA there. He did the executive MBA, but different time frames too. But just with the job search and working and stuff like that too. It's just that we see each other periodically. I don't want to be too pesky because I know he's so busy with everything he's doing too, and me too. You know, I don't know. You know.
Well, Cindy, the thing that jumped out at me in what you said is something like you don't want to demand too much of his time or take too much of his time.
Yeah.
So I think there's kind of like a fundamental come from and a shift to be made there of your time is valuable, his time is valuable, and he's a grown man with a choice about whether to spend it with you or any of his other multitude of interests in his life. And would you say it's a pattern for you in your dating that you feel scared to make demands, make requests, you know, really kind of take up space in a person's life?
Well, I'd like to. It's been a little tough. I haven't really been dating that much. It's been very tough on me to find somebody that I feel comfortable with that's on my level. I'm not trying to be a snob, but I've got an MBA from a very good university, and I'm really trying to make another job leap myself. I can't stay where I'm at. I'm underemployed. That's been kind of stressful too, and all the other stuff I do on the side doesn't necessarily provide monetary compensation. I'm working on that too, but it's just been kind of tough to be able to find people that are on my level, not trying to be a snob, you know, and my professionalism, you know?
Right.
And it's just hard
as far as
the whole dating thing, and I've had disasters too, so.
Yeah. Yeah, Cindy, I think you're teasing up a really good question here. You know, you basically what I'm hearing you say is, I'm a high-level person, and I'm looking for another high-level person. And some of what comes along with being a high-level person is a very full life, a busy schedule. And I relate to the challenge of looking for somebody who's really going to be a contribution to my life.
Right.
And then at the same time, you know, I've already got a full life. I'm looking for somebody else who's already got a full life, and I really do want to spend time with someone and be in a relationship. I'm not looking for a once-a-month kind of a thing. So it's definitely a challenge that you're teasing up.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. And I, you know, it's just been kind of hard because I've had some potential. I don't do anything really online, but I had some things that came up online just through some regular ads, which just really scared me. I kind of figured they were scams down the road. I reported them. One thing actually came up through LinkedIn, which is really scary, you know. So you got to be careful out there. Just, you know, I mean, how do people find good people? You know, it's just, I think that's the big thing. And the face-to-face is very important to me, too, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's also a good question. Something you said, Cindy, made me think, like, for a busy person, it's even more important to be clear about what you're going for and how you're deciding to see somebody or not see somebody.
Yeah.
And I want to address the idea of where to find people and kind of how to stay safe about it, but I feel like I need to say this. It's like I find myself saying to guys a fair bit, it's, you know, I find time to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the nature of my busy life is I'm, at the end of the day, I understand that even though things feel out of control, I'm in control of everything.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to say that tonight I'm going to have an hour-long date with somebody because I, like, yearn to see them and, you know, they're providing something for my life, I can make that happen. And I assume the same of every busy, accomplished man I meet.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I don't take crap about being busy.
Yeah.
You know, there's always more data in being busy. So, you know, the questions, if you're really valuing yourself and valuing your time, you'll ask questions that cause guys to kind of declare themselves in or out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You'll raise the question of, like, wow, it really seems like it's hard for you to figure out, you know, a time to be dating, you know, is this really something you're interested in? Or it really just seems like you're not that enthusiastic about seeing me. You know, if it's me and I'm enthusiastic about somebody, I figure it out.
Yeah, right.
And that either reveals the person as a bullshit artist who's stringing you along with some phrase about being busy, or like a bad professional who, you know, can't, like, handle his own life. And that's not to say there aren't crazy times, but you know, to really force the question and get honest about, is this, like, a busy week for you, or is this, you know, a pattern in your life you're just addicted to? And you know, I never use the term workaholic because I'm a person who loves my work.
Yeah.
And but what's your reaction to what I'm saying, Cindy?
It makes a lot of sense. It really does.
Yeah. So along with that approach comes the need to find more people.
Right.
Because you do sort of cycle through them more efficiently, let's say.
Yes.
Not to be cold about it, but it is just sort of the natural consequence of you know,
absolutely.
My hour is valuable.
I don't have time to dedicate to a date of, you know, with somebody that I haven't screened and haven't decided that I'm already interested in. You're not just throwing your time around willy-nilly as if it's, you know, free lunch.
And also, Cindy, the sort of attitude I have about it is, you know, I am one of the busiest people I know.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can make it work, you can make it work if you really wanted to.
Yep.
The sort of entitlement about my busyness in a way that's saying, you know, yes, if you're the person I want to be with, you're going to be a person who makes time for me in a busy life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and part of that, Cindy, is holding yourself as valuable, holding your time as equally valuable as a male professional, as well as your, like, personal and romantic interests and your just, like, you know, value as a human interacting with others as really valuable. And to have the expectation that people respond to you as if that's so, and, you know, do, you know, lean in towards making time for you and having that time really high quality is a standard that you should be holding for yourself.
Okay.
What's your reaction?
No, it makes sense. I think that's been the biggest challenge. You know, I just kind of thought, okay, I've been struggling with getting a better fitting paying job, okay, and also just restarting life after being divorced. You know, it's just, it's been tough, you know, trying to find decent people and, you know, make sure they value my time. That makes a lot of sense, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I hear the sadness of it and the way you're responding to it, Cindy, and I just want to give you kind of a concrete tool almost that I've used with a lot of people in coaching them on mistaken beliefs like I'm not worth it or I don't matter enough for this, or,
you know, I'm not good enough in some of those realms. Like, it's our approach, our school of thought isn't that you think your way out of these kind of ways of thinking. It's not, we're not a positive affirmation school of thought here.
Right.
It's not just like, I matter, I'm worth it, I matter, I'm worth it all day long. But sort of the exercise I like to encourage people in is saying, if I were a person who believed I was worth an MBA, you know, 100K, you know, C-level man dating,
yeah,
how would I be behaving? Where would I be going? What would I be, how would I, what would I be saying as I'm introducing myself to people? Like, if I believed that I were worth it,
yeah,
what would I be doing?
Mm.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then giving yourself little assignments to do those things.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of think that transformation comes by doing something that challenges the belief, that gets you responded to differently, and that you chip away at that mistaken belief by seeing the world react to your behavior differently. So
mm-hmm.
That's the thought experiment I want to propose to you. And I want to propose it to you specifically as like a way to brainstorm on your second question. If you believe that you were worth an MBA, 100K guy, you know, where would you go and how would you conduct yourself there?
Mm-hmm. Mhm.
Any thoughts on that one?
I had tried to do some networking things in Chicago, but it turned out that most of the time it was more business networking events. But it seems like a lot of the men there are married, you know, and just you're kind of like a fish out of water there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know what? I know you mentioned something about online and that you said you haven't done much online. Is that right, Cindy?
Well, what I had done at one point, too, was just like the, if I can say match.com, but it was funny. It was the point where they were just such weird fits. Maybe I needed to tighten up criteria, but it was at the point where I was actually sending the matches off to a friend of mine, and I said, okay, this is the monster match of the week. It was just creepy.
Yeah,
it was just creepy, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the reason
and
the reason I'm bringing it up is I recently got some coaching from our marketing here, our marketing team here at the office, and I was saying, what should I be doing to do, you know, to have more success in sales and marketing? And the advice I got was everything's digital now.
Yeah.
Instead of the return on your time going out to marketing, networking events is significantly less than if I'm doing online marketing. I'm, you know, I'm making quick little touches in different places.
Yeah.
And I think likely the same thing applies to dating as well. You can absolutely meet people in person, and I think Kate's suggestion of, you know, thinking if I were a woman who believed I was really worth it, where would I be and how would I be holding myself is a great one and really valuable. But I also just being a very busy woman, being a busy woman myself, I think about my time and what's the likelihood if I go to an event that I'm going to meet somebody I really hit it off with versus many people can I touch? If I dedicate 1 hour to sending as many messages as I can, yeah, a lot of them are are creepy and a lot of them aren't as well. That's been my experience.
The other option is you can pay someone to do all that checking for you.
Mm.
You know, It's Just Lunch is one of the services that will do that. There are other services. I always see them in the Sky Mall magazines while I'm traveling, but they're like executive match services.
Mm-hmm.
There's Millionaire Match or something like that online. I actually know people who've tried that.
Yeah.
Millionaires
now?
No, not millionaires yet, to my knowledge. But you know, if that's within your budget, you can have somebody else do all the safety checks, the professional level screenings, and set you up so you just have to show up.
Yeah,
that's not really in my budget right now because I'm very much underemployed. Like, but that's why I'm ramping up. I've got some new strategies I'm using too, and I've got a list like you wouldn't believe as far as execs I know in a certain industry, and it's just time to reach out in different ways. So, you know, I've got a friend, a very good Chicago friend, who says, okay, Cindy, just land that job and find that man.
Good,
but,
well,
you know, it's
going to
be the right
there,
match,
Cindy.
Too, like I said, you know. But you would think, you know, more online, just want to be very, very careful, too, obviously.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling in,
okay.
Cindy. Yeah, thank
you.
Okay.
Keep us posted on how
thank
it goes.
Thank you. I will. Okay, thank
thanks.
You.
So we have another question. We'd like to entertain here. Our caller is not on the air, but we had a question sent in to us. How do you get to know someone who is out of town a lot for work?
And I think my understanding of the context of the question is that, you know, it maybe feels like it's a different situation when you meet somebody and you kind of hit it off, you start dating, and then they start traveling a lot.
Yeah.
Versus it's still your first couple of dates, and this is, say, a consultant who's gone, you know, every day during the week, or mm-hmm. somebody who, you know, just does all sorts of international travel. And, like, how do you deal with somebody that's not around a lot right at the beginning stages of getting to know them?
It's a good question.
It's a really good question.
My gut reaction is you don't.
Well, so
but that's a bad experience.
Yeah. Well, and I'm seeing like a common thread between this and Cindy. There's like this idea about time,
yeah.
and I'm just sensing that there's this belief around it that there needs to be lots of it. And I do think that that's
right.
important. I think actually being able to see somebody matters.
It does.
But there's so much in the actual quality of the time that you do have together where, you know, I could go on a 5 or 6 hour date with somebody and just, like, not really get anything out of it, not have revealed
mm-hmm.
myself
mm-hmm.
at all, not really know them or feel super excited about another date. Or I could go to coffee and, like, you know, crunch in a lot of, you know, like, vulnerable, you know, expressions and conversations and, like, have that really make a bigger impact than the long date. So I think that there's a lot in this about making your experiences that you do have super, super high quality.
I totally agree. Mm-hmm. I'm tracking with what you're saying, Monica, because as I remember the last time I thought I was in love with somebody, mm-hmm. it was, like, one first date and five quickies, and I don't mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I just mean dates. I literally mean quickie dates, where it was like, it was a morning coffee before work, it was a noontime lunch, and there's a way that there's like an excitement to getting to see that person, like, in the course of my work day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's who I am.
Yeah.
That's who I am, you know, 9 to 5, and there's a way that person's energy was cool in work mode as well, and when it was mm-hmm. like, you know, we only have a little bit of time. We got right down to business, and,
yeah.
you know, we got caught up quickly. We got, we were just, like, on edge in
yeah.
a way that was fun and cool.
You don't really fart around watching Netflix.
No.
Yeah. I love that. And, you know, in when we have two new students starting in a group here, you know, and in some sort of growth group, we have something we do, we call a meet and greet. And we've talked about before how dates are similar to meet and greets.
Yep.
But I had a meet and greet last night, and I was actually thinking about it in the context of dating, because I had 1 hour, really it was 20 minutes for me to talk about myself and who I really am,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then a little bit of time to sort of discuss it, and then 20 minutes for the other person to talk about who they are.
Yep.
And the level of depth that it's possible to get to in that short amount of time.
Yes.
I know this woman now better than I know many people that I could see day in, day out, watch Netflix
yep.
with.
Yes.
It was so quick to get there.
And it leaves you wanting more.
Yeah.
I mean, you leave a conversation like that going, there is a ton that I'm curious about,
yeah.
based on having gone really deep on a few things and
yeah.
a bit of broad kind of history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've had dates like that, too, where I wind up feeling, like, super grateful that someone's been vulnerable with me and really shared themselves, and I feel like I'm not interested in dating them as
yes.
a result of all that, but bravo to that man
yes.
for really being who he is and right out there.
For going there.
Yeah.
And, like, in the realm of you know, what you guys were saying earlier about, like, you make time for what matters to you and the people that you really want to see, I had a really great short date with somebody on Sunday who's traveling for about 10 days on Friday, and I don't have an evening off until Friday. So we're actually going to meet up pretty late on Thursday night after an event that we're doing here at Wright. And we're just going to have, like, an hour of tea and talking, you
mm-hmm.
know, like, so, and to, like,
yeah.
really make that count. And we've already talked about, like, what we want to talk about. There's nothing wrong with going into a date with a plan.
Yeah.
Right. The thing is, though, this sort of brings up what we were talking about earlier with Cindy, as, like, if it's important, you know, you will make time for it. Because it would be easy for either of you to make an excuse for you
mm-hmm.
to say, no, I have an event late, I'm going to be exhausted, or for him to say, no, I'm traveling the next day, that's too much.
Right.
So, you know, if somebody's traveling, there's the possibility of a phone call
mm-hmm.
while you're traveling.
Yep.
You know, it's not too much different. You know, if you want
right.
the FaceTime, we have Skype, we have FaceTime.
Right.
There are a lot of options. also, I think it's like, for me, it comes down to if I really want to see this person and if this person really wants to see me, we will make it work.
Yeah, just listing off the various options had me recalling times I've gotten a call from someone who's about to get on a flight or someone who's on a job and waiting for something to complete but FaceTimes. Like, I literally had to catch my breath over the fact that he was FaceTiming me while he was on the job.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, it's so nice to be thought of in that context. And it takes me back to sort of the beginning point in the conversation, which is like, what do you have to do to create a connection with somebody or make it work with somebody who travels all the time? My first thought was like, be really compelling, really show up. Actually, you know, it doesn't, 5 minutes makes a difference, 10 minutes makes a difference. And I think George's question was about creating an emotional connection or emotional intimacy. At which point I think it's all about your intention, you know, like,
and your willingness to be emotionally intimate. Not just depending on the other person who's traveling.
And to sort of think about, if you were in a relationship where you were seeing them face-to-face, what would you do and say that created emotional intimacy? You know, you'd tell someone you were looking forward to seeing them. Well, that still applies if you're not going to see them 10 days, you know, until 10 days down the road. What else? I don't know, but I just, the medium doesn't matter.
Yes, I agree. Well, and we've said this a number of times on this show that, like, dating's a playground. And this is like such a good playground for like seeing your own like boundaries and barriers and like beliefs about like what you can and cannot do and what's possible within a short amount of time or at a particular point in their relationship, and just like throwing that all to the wind and saying like, I want this, and how am I going to do it? You know, so it really is an opportunity to just like try a bunch of new things and ways of interacting with people and test it out.
Yep. I don't know if there's something to the absence makes the heart grow fonder. But, you know, at an earlier time in a relationship when I was struggling, when it was like our schedules never match, blah, 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 some of the coaching I got was, that doesn't matter. Are you still hungry to see each other when you each get home at night, whenever that finally is? Do you, you know, as you're there in your day, do you think about wanting to download to this person? Oh, like, oh, I have to remember to tell so-and-so later. Or, you know, I want to make sure I get a squeeze from my guy later because of, like, the day I've had or the week I've had. It's like when your time together is scarce, you think about what you want in that time. And it's the question is quality, you know, quality and yearning, basically. If I really have a yearning to be with this person, I will move heaven and earth to do it. I will rent cars and drive to the suburbs. I will get on a plane to another country. Anything else. I mean, it just calls everything else into question.
Cool. Well, we do have a bit of time for another question. This is a caller who wasn't able to be on with us, but she wants to know, she says that she's in a relationship and is wondering what's the best way to support a friend who wants to date but says that they're way too busy. So this is coming from the end of anybody that listens that, you know, does seem to be, you know, pretty happily partnered, and you've got, you know, single friends that are working on this challenge. What would we say?
Wow, I mean, too busy to date. My answer is, huh, if you're saying you're too busy to date, then you don't really want to.
That's what I was thinking.
Or something holding you back from it.
Right.
It's an excuse from three busy people. From two busy people, Kate.
I can say.
I'm three busy people.
Well, and recently I was saying for probably about a week, but several times a day, that like maybe I should just take a break from dating. I was going on a number of dates and I wasn't enjoying myself, and there were no second dates out of any of them. And I was pretty sure, I'm like, maybe I'm just growing too much and, like, I'm just not in a place to date. And I kind of knew that it was, you know, bullshit in my head, but I was still saying this. And the fact is that, like, I had gotten put off by some experiences and was also afraid of, like, still pushing myself to be uncomfortable and, you know, like, try new things and, like, be risky with people despite having five bad dates in a row. And that's where the I don't want to comes in. It's not really about that. It's often, I think, a defense against a bad experience that you are afraid that you may have again.
Yeah, it's I'm too busy to deal with the hurt I'm sure I'm going to face.
Right.
Or I'm too much lacking courage to find myself on a date and end it 15 minutes into it.
Right, which is a challenge that we got recently. Are you willing to have your dates end after 30 minutes?
Yep.
Really be yourself and see what happens.
Yeah.
So I would just say, you know, talk to your friend, and I bet that there is something beneath this I'm too busy to date, as we're suggesting here. And it may be fear, it may be anger, you know, who knows. But I think that you're in a place to really talk with her about it and help her explore what's under that.
I'm finding myself with such a suspicious mind about things, or sort of skeptical, I guess. The questions that come up to me are like, are you too busy to watch Netflix? Are you too busy to read books, surf Facebook, go see a concert, talk to me, your friend? Mm-hmm. You know, like there are other things that you're deciding you have time for,
right,
because they're more nourishing for you. Mm-hmm. So the question is, how would you make your dating nourishing if you choose to do it? How, like, what would
yeah.
it take for dating to feel good,
yeah.
to feel as good as surfing Facebook or watching Netflix or any of the other things you
yeah.
make time for in the course of a day?
Yeah.
And when you're going in, you know, when you're going at it that way, there's also the question of, you know, are you legitimately consciously making a choice to not date at, you know, at this moment? Because if you wipe away those excuses, you know, I don't have time, and you're really able to look at the truth about it, which is, you know what, I'm afraid or I'm angry or whatever's going on, and I'm not going to do that right now because I've decided not to.
Mm-hmm.
There's more power in it. It
yeah.
feels better to say, to take ownership of my life and say, I am going to do this or I'm not going to do this, rather than I'm powerless to do it in the situation that I have landed in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep. Well said.
Yeah.
Great.
Cool.
Well, do we have any other questions?
You know, looks like we do. We got one last one, a little quickie. How do you...
word of the day.
How do you gracefully tell a friend that you know her husband is cheating on her?
Oh, my.
Oh,
not
my.
Not a quickie.
That's not a quick question.
Isn't it?
I think that there's something in here, gracefully,
right.
as if it needs to be graceful, as if telling the truth and exposing something needs to be graceful.
Yeah, the grace has kind of already been removed from the situation
yeah.
at
yeah.
the point of his infidelity. So
yeah.
the most gracious thing that can be done is just to tell her
tell
as soon as possible.
Yeah, yep.
Period, end of story. I have something really difficult to tell you, and I'm terrified about your response, but I can't see a way for us to be friends and me to withhold this information. Boom.
Yeah, yep. It's, So one of the things that we talk about here is principles,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like living by principles. And truth is a principle that we hold pretty highly here. We actually study it in our grad school programs as part of our, you know, a lot of the work that we do. And I think that this is one of those situations where, like, it may be super scary to talk to your friend about it. You may have your own upsets coming up around this situation,
mm-hmm.
particularly if you've experienced something similar. And to really orient yourself towards truth. And, like, this is like, just a key important moment in your decision of who you are and who you want to be and who you are in relationship to your friend and the world around you, to tell that straight truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, the fear of, you know, what if my friend is somehow, you know, mad at me for being the messenger, or what if this hurts my relationship? You know, I don't know what the likelihood is. It's always a possibility, and that's not the one that you really can control.
Right.
You can control
right.
who you decide to be and how you decide to be in the world and in relationship with other people.
Yeah.
The reality that, that you know, as I have decided to live my life towards principles, as Monica is talking about, is, you know, my circle of friends has changed. I've gotten closer with some and further away from others. Nothing as dramatic as, you said that to me and I won't be your friend anymore. But it definitely has shifted, and the friends that I'm still close with are the ones who orient to the same or similar principles that I do. And I think that's a reality to be accepting and moving forward
mm-hmm.
with, you know, in your life, in whatever the situation is.
I agree with everything you both have said, and
yeah.
just wanted to propose one other possible tactic that we use around here in order to enforce our agreement to not gossip in our groups.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if one person in a team or group knows something about another that really needs to be dealt with in a different relationship, they'll say, this is, I want this person to hear it directly from you. I don't want to get involved in this situation, but if you haven't handled it by X time, I will.
Yeah.
And so that would be the other approach, is like, you have 24 hours to handle this mess. If not, I'm telling her to say to the spouse or partner, or whoever it is that's had the integrity breach in the relationship, you have to handle it. I'm talking to her 24 hours from now, and if you haven't told her already, I will be.
Yeah.
And when I mentioned having fear about it, the fear I imagine is more the fear of just dealing with my friend's feelings toward him.
Yeah.
You know, like, do I really think I have the capacity to be with my friend in her hurt, in her anger, in her whatever? That would be a thing I would need to, like, remind myself of and gear myself up for before having that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Even get my own support, call a buddy, speaking confidentially or not revealingly about the situation, but just be like, you know, I really want to have my heart open, or, you know, just speak to whatever it is you want and how you want to be in the situation.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. Tough one.
Yeah, very tough.
Yeah. Well.
Well. That is that's about all we have time for.
Yeah,
today.
Thank you to all our callers and questioners.
Mm-hmm. And join us tomorrow night. We have an event actually at our location in Chicago in Streeterville on Ohio Street. It is a personality styles workshop. You may have seen some little quizzes on Facebook and, you know, places about, you know, like, what's your personality style, what color is your personality, is one I've seen floating around.
Yeah.
But this is really a very concrete way for you to understand what your personality type is, how you function best, where your blocks are in terms of your ability to relate to people and be successful in your professional life, and how to relate to and understand others better so that you can really be a driving, directive force with everybody that you interact with. So it's a great event. It's based off of a model developed by Dr. Bob Wright,
mm-hmm.
And implemented in hundreds of companies. Kate, you may be able to speak better to this.
Used to train over 250,000 people around the world in relating to others. And really, this is like, whether you're in sales or marketing or just in the business of needing to get kids to clean rooms or, you know, persuade a husband about what vacation plans to adopt. Like, these are skills we all need in influencing others, the ability to understand our own styles, understand another person's styles or preferences, and shift to better relate to them.
Yep.
So
this is an event that's going on tomorrow night. It's networking starts at 5:30.
Thursday, September 2nd,
thank you. Networking starts at 5:30. The event starts at 6, and we'd love to see you there. We will be there. It would be great to meet in person.
Registration's at rightleaderevent.com.
Mm-hmm. Rightleaderevent.com. And join us every 2 weeks. This crew will be on Blog Talk for a dating show, about singlehood and dating. And then every other week and every Thursday with Dr. Bob Wright.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.